Ah, yes. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. And I'm Pastor Steve. This is Word for Word for Wednesday, November the 16th, 2016. We are still in the book of Judges, which is Shofatim. Today we're going to get into chapters 13 and 14, which begins the story of Shimshon. Now they call him Samson in the English mistranslations, but his name is Shimshon in Hebrew, which is what he was. This is going to take several days to do his entire story, because 13, 14, 15, and 16, I'm leafing through the pages here, and 13, 14, 15, and 16 are all about Shimshon and what he did and all of that business. There has been a lot of mistranslation in these chapters as well. I will be noting that as we go through them. A lot of correction to be done in these prophet sections. The books of the prophets have been hammered pretty hard by the mistranslators, so I'm going to be very busy as we go through. Thirteen and 14 in themselves are not really long. There's 25 verses in 13 and 20 and 14, but I'll be doing some explanation as we go through. So I'm trying to do two chapters of whatever I'm in on each show. One chapter just is not enough material if you read it, except for Genesis. Genesis was difficult. Some days I did just one chapter per show because it deserved it. It needed a lot of explanation. But in here, there's not enough technical information that I have to explain. Just correct some mistranslations. And in this book, I'll give some geographic locations of where cities are today that existed back then. The same cities, they still exist. So I'll give you a minute to get a hit of Heist tea here, and I'll be right back. Just a second. All right. I needed that. Gonna get cold tonight here. And I've got everything prepared. The furnace is on and we're all set. But getting into that time of the year, and just a lovely view out my apartment window of all the gorgeous. We have our own park here for this apartment complex, and it's just beautiful. And the pond and all the blooming Flowers are still blooming, but the trees are all turning, and it's just beautiful. Well, let's get into chapter 13. This is Judge number 13, Shimshon, better known as Samson. And verse 1 of chapter 13. Here we go again. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of Yahweh. Oh, please. Say it ain't so. Us doing evil. And Yahweh gave them into the hand of the Pelishtim, 6430, 40 years. Now, the Pelishtim are the Philistines. That's Hebrew for Philistines. Verse 2. There was a certain man of Sorah, 6681, that's T-S-O-R-A-H, of the tribe of the Dani, 1839, those are the Danites, he was of the tribe of Dan, whose name was Manoach, 4495. And his wife was barren, 6135, and did not bear, 3205. Okay. Barren is Akara, and did not bear, 3205, is Yalada. Verse 3. A messenger, translated angel in the King James, but that's incorrect. A messenger of Yahweh appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold now, you are barren and do not bear, but you shall conceive." 2029. That's Waharith. And bear a son. Verse 4. Now, take care, 8104, please, and drink no wine or strong drink, 7941. Now that 7941 is a type of beer, probably with a high alcoholic content. They weren't government regulated back then. And eat nothing unclean, 2931. Verse 5, because, lo, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor, 4177, shall come up upon his head, because the boy shall be a Nazir, 5139. And that's a Nazirite, to Elohim from the womb. In other words, he is to be dedicated to Yahweh from the womb, just like Yiftach's daughter was dedicated to Yahweh. She wasn't sacrificed, she was just dedicated to service. And he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Pelishtim. He's going to be a judge, he's going to be a deliverer, a leader. Verse 6. And the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of Elohim came to me, and his appearance, 4758, was like the appearance of a messenger of Elohim. Very awesome, 3372. But I did not ask him from where he was, nor did he tell me his name. Verse 7, but he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. And now drink no wine nor strong drink, nor eat anything unclean, because the boy shall be a Nazir to Elohim from the womb to the day of his death.'" And he was. verse 8. Then Manoach entreated, 6279, to Yahweh and said, O Yahweh, now let's stop right here. That second Yahweh was changed by the scribes to Adonai, number 136, which is translated, O Lord. But if you look at it in the Hebrew, it is Yahweh. They translate the English different than what they have in the Hebrew. More meddling, okay? Then Manoach entreated to Yahweh and said, O Yahweh, let the man of Elohim which you sent come again, please, to us and teach 3384, that's Yorenu, pardon me, teach us, because it's possessive, Yorenu, that's from Yara, to teach, and teach us what we shall do to the boy that shall be born. They needed instruction. How do we treat a Nazirite? What do we teach him? What do we do with a special child? They were worried that they might do something wrong. And they didn't want to. This was good on their part. They were faithful believers. That's wonderful. Verse 9. And Elohim heard the voice of Manoach, and the messenger of Elohim came again to the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoach, her husband, was not with her. Let me get another hit of tea here. I'm getting a little dry. Boy, that's good. A little bit of lemon. I need that every once in a while. In haste, 4116, the woman ran, 7323, and told her husband and said to him, Behold, the man appeared to me that came to me in the day. Verse 11. And Manoach arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said to him. Now the word are here is implied. So I have it in parentheses. Are you the man that spoke to my wife? And he said, I am. Verse 12. And Manoach said, Now let your words come. And it means to pass is implied. Now let your words come to pass. What, that's 4100, shall be the rules, 4941, for the boy, and what work shall he do, 4639, for work. Verse 13, and the messenger of Yahweh said to Manoach, Of all that I said to the woman, let her take care. She must not consume from anything that comes from the vine. It would be grapevine, which is implied. Nor drink wine, nor strong drink. Nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe. 8104. Verse 15. And Manoach said to the messenger of Yahweh, Please, let us detain you until we have prepared a kid of the she-goats before you. Verse 16, and a messenger of Yahweh said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. And if you make a burnt offering, you must offer it up to Yahweh. This is a divine being. He didn't need to eat. Because Manoah did not know that he was a messenger of Yahweh. His wife did, but he didn't. She had a pretty good clue. Verse 17, and Manoah said to the messenger of Yahweh, what is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you? 3513, honor. And the messenger of Yahweh said to him, why ask this way of my name, as it is beyond understanding? 6383, Peli, and it's too wonderful to understand. That's what that means. Verse 19, so Manoah took a kid of the she-goats with a grain offering and offered it up upon a rock to Yahweh. And a wondrous thing, 6381, was done. Umapeli. That's 6381. That's very similar to 6383. And Manoah and his wife observed it. They saw this take place. They witnessed, in other words, what happened when they offered up this offering on the rock. It came to, verse 20, it came to pass as the flame ascended toward the sky from upon the altar, that the messenger of Yahweh ascended in the flame of the altar. Oh boy. And Manoah and his wife observed it and prostrated themselves upon their faces on the ground. Verse 21. The messenger of Yahweh appeared no more to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew that he had been a messenger of Yahweh. Verse 22. And Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen an Elohim. That's a small e. That's 430 as a divine being. Verse 23, but his wife said to him, if Yahweh were pleased, 2654, to kill us, he would not have received our burnt offering and grain offering from our hands. Neither would he have let us see all these things, nor at this time hear these things. Now, pleased to kill us, that's 2654, that's kafetz. And the woman was right, the wife was right. Yahweh was very pleased with them. He had chosen them to bear this son who's going to do all these miraculous deeds. Now, he's not going to be a very good man, but he's going to do a lot of deeds. Verse 24. The woman bore a son and called his name Shimshon. 8123, that's Shimshon. And it's from 8121 Shemesh. And it means sunshine. So, he was a little sunshine. And the boy grew, and Yahweh blessed him. Okay? That's why it's not Samson. It's from Shemesh, which is the sun. And it's Shimshon, means sunshine. So Samson is a pretty poor translation. Not good at all. Verse 25 of chapter 13. And the Spirit of Yahweh began to impel him at 6470 Lepaamel in the camp of Dan between Sorah and Eshtaol, 847. So the Spirit, because he was a Nazir from birth, dedicated, the Spirit was working on this boy, and he grew. And he evidently grew real big. Now we start chapter 14 of the book of Judges, continuing on with this story. Verse 1. And Shimshon went down to Timnathah, 8553, or Timnathah, with emphasis on the Timnathah, and saw a woman in Timnathah of the daughters of the Pelishtim, 6430, the Philistines. Remember, I'm going to stop right here. Remember, all of this that occurs is by Yahweh's hand. All of these events were engineered by Yahweh because of the crying out of the people, and he's going to use Shimshon to punish the Pelishtim, even though Shimshon is not necessarily a righteous or good man. Now, he's looking at this Philistine girl. And they were of the enemy. Okay. Well, here's how this turns out. Remember, this is engineered. And he came up and told his parents and said, I have seen a woman in Timnathah of the daughters of the Pelishtim. Now procure 3947 her for me to wife. It means raise her up. Verse 3. Then his parents said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your kinsmen and other fellow Israelites, or among all my people, that you go to take a wife of the Pelishtim, possessors of foreskins? 6189 question mark. No, and 6189 is Ha'arelim, and that is as uncircumcised. Okay, they were possessors of foreskins. That's what Ha'arelim means literally. And Shimshon said to his father, procure her for me because she pleases, 3474, my eyes, 5869. She evidently was a good-looking little Philistine. Verse 4. Here it tells you. His parents did not know that it was of Yahweh that he sought an opportunity, 8385, against the Pelishtim, because at that time the Pelishtim were rulers, 4910, over Israel. Mashalim, rulers. Then went down Shimshon and his parents to Timnathah and came to the vineyards, 3754, of Timnathah, and behold, a young 3715 lion, 738, roared 7580 to meet him, 7125, like to meet him in battle. a young lion, because that was wild country. There were lions and stuff running all over the place. Verse 6, and the Spirit of Yahweh rushed, 67:43, Watitzalak, rushed upon him, and he tore him asunder, 81:56, as he would tear asunder, 81:56 again, a kid, which is a young goat, with no thing but his hands, but he did not tell his parents what he had done. Now, the first use of 81:56 is Wayeshasehu, and the second 81:56 is Keshasha. All from the same root. Verse 7. And he went down and spoke with a woman, and she pleased the eyes of Shimshon. Verse 8. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass, 4:6-5:8, of the lion. And behold, a swarm, 5:7-1:2, of bees, 16:82, and honey, 17:06, was in the carcass, 14:72, of the lion. Now, carcass is mafelet. Now, you have to realize this is dry, hot country. The birds of prey probably stripped the flesh and skin from the lion, and the skeleton and maybe some hard skin. And it was a convenient place for this wild honeybee swarm. And swarm here is Ada, as a congregation of bees. And bees is Deborim, and honey is Udabash. And the second use of carcass is 14:72. And that's Begawiya, as opposed to Mafalet, the first use. Different word entirely. Verse 9. And he scraped it out, 7:2-8:7, in the palms of his hands, 3:7-0:9, and ate as he walked on, and came to his parents and gave to them. And they ate, but he did not tell them that he had scraped the honey from the carcass of the lion. Now, scraped it out is Wayuradehu. And the palms of his hands is different from 3027, the hand. It's the palms of the hand as a cup or a spoon. They use the same word for a spoon, because it's hollowed out like you would cup your hands, the palms of the hands. And that is Begawiya. No, that's 3709. It's El Kafev. Okay. Verse 10. So his father went down to the woman, and Shimshon made there a feast, 49:60. Because so the young men, 970, used to do. And feast is Mishte, and the young men is Habakurim. The young men. Ha is the Hebrew article, which makes it the. And Bakurim is young men. So it's Habakurim. Verse 11. And it was, when they saw him, they brought 30 companions, 4828, to be with him. That is as a bridegroom's escort. It's Meraim. Verse 12. And Shimshon said to him, to them, I will now propound 2330 Akuda, a riddle 2420 Kida to you. If you can certainly tell it to me within the 7 days of the feast, in other words, the wedding feast lasted 7 days, they partied, and find the answer, then I will give you 30 linen wrappers, 5466, and 30 changes, 2487, of garments. The linen wrappers were an outer tunic. That's Sedinim. And the changes of garments is Kalifoth. So he made a bet with them. Okay. This isn't going to work out well for anybody here. But this is by the hand of Yahweh. He is engineering all of this action. Verse 13. But if you cannot tell it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen wrappers and 30 changes of garments. And they said to him, propound your riddle, that we may hear it. Verse 14. And he said to them, from the eater. Okay, that's 398. A call. But the formation of this is Mehaokel. From is me, the is ha, and eder okel is the tense that's used here for this word, and not akal, the verb from the eder. It is now a description, okay? From the eater came forth food. 3978, ma'akal. That's from the ma'akal. And from the strong, 5794, uma'az. Az is strength. From the strong, ma'az, u-ma'az, came forth a sweet thing. 4966, matok. And they could not in 3 days declare the riddle. Verse 15. And it was on the seventh day that they said to Shimshon's wife, entice, 6601, Pati, your husband, that he may tell us his riddle, lest we burn you and your father's household with fire, to impoverish us, 3423, Halayarashenu, you invite us here, 7121, to call us here. Is it not so? So they threatened his wife and her father because they thought she was in on this. Verse 16, Shimshon's wife wept, 1058, upon him and said, You do but hate me and love me not. And wept on him is watabech, as annoy with weeping. Okay? You do but hate me and love me not. You have propounded a riddle to the children of my people, have not told me. Ugh. And he said to her, behold, I have not told my parents, and I shall tell you. Verse 17, and she wept upon him the 7 days. In other words, she just nagged him for 7 days, while their feast lasted. And it was on the seventh day that he told her, because she distressed him so. 6693. Hetzikathehu, in the sense of nagged. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. She ratted him out. Verse 18. The seventh day, the men of the city said to him, before the sun went down. And sun is 2775 here. Hakaresa. What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said to them, if you had not plowed, 2790, with my heifer, 5697, you had not found out my riddle. In other words, he knew his wife ratted him out. Verse 19. And the Spirit of Yahweh rushed upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men from them and took their spoil, 2488, and gave changes, 2487, changes of clothing, to those which declared the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. And Kalitza, the spoil, is that is which stripped off his plunder. And this is a shocker. This is of Yahweh, and it's gonna seal their fate. Verse 20, the last verse of chapter 14. But Shimshon's wife was given to his companion, 4828, and that's Lemareahu, and that's like the best man at the wedding, to whom he had been as his friend, 7462, and that's Asherah. So, he not only had to pay because of his wife's treachery, but he comes back from obtaining this clothing from the dead men that he killed. Because he's really angry at the Philistines at this point. Yahweh's spirit is on him, and he's wreaking havoc. He gets back, and the wife has been given to the best man at the wedding. And you can imagine. If he was angry before, he's really upset at this point. He's not happy at all. And he's going to put the hammer on him in the following chapters. Now, the Spirit of Yahweh was engineering all of this action. Yahweh opened the womb and cured a woman of her barrenness in order to produce this boy. He sent his divine messenger to tell his parents, this is what you have to do. The mother can't drink any wine or drink strong drink or eat anything unclean. This kid's going to be special from birth. He's not going to be a normal boy. He's going to be dedicated. You're not going to cut his hair. He belongs to Yahweh. Yahweh is going to cause this boy to be born. And he is going to use him as a tool to accomplish his vengeance on the Philistines. These were going to be enemies of Israel. The Philistines were for years, all the way up through Saul's time and King David. He fought the Philistines. They were a mighty nation and prolific and well armed and a real terror in the area. So at this point in time, prior to David's time, he's raising up this boy who would become a man, who would be super strong because Yahweh gave him the strength, and he is being psychologically prepared right now to do war on the Philistines. That's coming up. He's going to do all sorts of things to them and be a big enemy. Big. If Yahweh can do this back then and give this boy that kind of courage and strength, do you think Yahweh is any less today? And that the Holy Spirit is any less today? Now we're seeing all this fol-de-rol with this election and all the dirty deals that are being planned and all this panic mode that everybody's going into. All of this is by Yahweh's hand. Same deal as he did in this book back then to create this situation to take care of his enemies. Those of us who are faithful and have full confidence in him are being psychologically and even physically prepared to do battle with Yahweh's enemies, who are so foolish they don't think Yahweh is going to do anything to them today. Oh, that might have been some little god that was back then, and that was then, this is now. Everybody forgets that Yahweh is not bound by time as we are. Time only exists for us to gauge our progress in this plane of existence. Yahweh is not bound by time. Doesn't grow old. Doesn't change. Tells you that in the book of Malachi. I change not. He is the same divine super being that created the universe, that put the race of Adam on this planet, that has been tolerant of our mistakes all these years, who loved us enough to manifest as a man in the form of Yeshua Messiah, suffered death as a man, and shed blood to cover over all our sins. He left the divine realm to come down here to do that. What man or woman has that kind of love that, being divine, he came down here and took our sins upon himself to bail us out? Are we lucky or what? We are blessed. Yeah, we're in punishment. We're cast out of the promised land. But in the scriptures, especially in the New Testament, it tells that we're going to be fully redeemed when Yeshua returns, and he's going to take care of all these enemies that we're facing. And we need to have faith today like they had faith back then. They saw Yahweh's miracles. Well, now we have this glorious holy book to tell us about all of these things. The scriptures, what we call the Bible. If we go back to being faithful and worshiping Yahweh and obeying his laws, he is going to do what he did in the Old Testament times once again. He's going to protect us. He is going to keep us. He's going to forgive us. And he will fight for us against our enemies. I can't see men and women taking up small arms, you know, rifles and pistols and stuff, and fighting all the armies that are arrayed against us with their rockets and jets and helicopter gunships and armed drones and network of snitches to betray us and machine guns and tanks and all this other stuff. What are you going to do with a rifle and a pistol against a tank? Or a jet flying so high that just drops something on you? You're going to have Yahweh's protection. Yahweh can protect us against anything that the evil men throw at us. And he is allowing and engineering and bringing to pass all this opportunity for these people to give them enough rope to hang themselves. He has been patient and let these people build up all this wrongdoing so that he will have the glory of destroying all of the adversary, Satan, Halel, whatever name you want to give it, the adversary's machinations, his works here on this planet. And only Yahweh can do that. Nobody else can handle that. So, we have to have enough faith to be patient on him. He's going to deal with it. He tells us that in the New Testament. He tells us how he did it in the Old Testament. And the New Testament is just a fulfillment and a retelling of the Old Testament. Yeshua Messiah only preached Torah and kingdom theology. He did not preach what they are preaching in the Judeo-Christian churches. Personal Savior. Run up to the altar. Make a big show. Born again. when it's not again. It's from above. Spiritual birth. You carry the spark and spirit that Yahweh gave the Adam. Only the Adam was given that in his progeny, which now is Israel in dispersion, has that spark. These others have a spirit, and that spirit returns to the earth from whence it came. Like dogs and cats and horses and cows, they live a life and then they die, and that spirit returns to the earth. And that's it. It's over. They are not part of the covenant. They are not part of the promise. They are not part of the redemption. They are not promised an eternal body and eternal life. They were not given a soul. Only the Adamites have a soul. The others just have a spirit. And the spirit and the soul are two different things. A soul is eternal. A spirit is not. A spirit is life force, energy. It comes from the earth. It will return to the earth when the animal decomposes all that energy. And the molecular structure and everything will decompose and fall apart. And the energy that propels it will go back to the source. Not so with the soul. A soul can be destroyed, but only by Yahweh. And it takes something pretty egregious to make that happen. And he has given us the out through Yeshua Messiah to get out from that punishment. We are free of that punishment through that miraculous covenant that he has made with us. And he is writing his law on our hearts. People know right from wrong. They may go against it, and they may deliberately do wrong. And woe unto them that do that. That's a terrible thing to see. We have free will here. We can choose. He does not want puppets. He wants willing, loving children. The others are not children. They are just beasts of the earth. Oh, I know that's racist, but the Bible is a racist book. They are not equal to the Adamic race. They were not designed to be. We are to have dominion over them. It says so right there in Genesis. The very name Israel, you will rule as El, as a prince. We will be the administrators of Yahweh's laws. Because we will be perfected at that point. We are not now. But those who are faithful and will obey now will be perfected later. That's part of the promise. Don't discount that. We get impatient. Because we're bound by time. Our bodies deteriorate gradually over time here. They are only temporary. Planned obsolescence. And here I sit as a perfect example of planned obsolescence. I am not even close to being the man that I was when I was young. I was a big strapping. I'm 6'2 plus now. And a big guy, and I'm strong for an old man my age. I'm pretty stout. And Yahweh's blessed me. That needs healing me and making me better So I can do these shows, and I can go do speaking engagements, and I can witness and preach to people. And he chooses guys like me that have been complete knuckleheads. And he calls us to preach. And that's a miracle. And I have to have a sense of humor about it because it's so hilarious that he would pick somebody like me. But he has. And I deserve death for all the sinning I've done all my life. But no, he's not going to let that happen. He's redeemed me through Yeshua Messiah. And let me know about it. See, that's the great thing. He has let me know who and what I am and what he expects of me for the rest of this time that I inhabit this flesh temple that I'm into, which is breaking down a little bit. I may yet live to see the Messiah's return. I hope so. I would love to be here when he comes back. What an exciting concept. But meanwhile, until Yahweh decides to send him back, and only Yahweh, I will occupy until his return. And if I fall down and sleep, in other words, I die, okay, I have a soul. I am promised resurrection upon his return. And if my body has deteriorated into just molecular whatever, dust, the creator of the entire universe with unlimited power, the divine being whose name is Yahweh, will reform me from the dust from which I was formed originally in a better version. I will get an upgrade, an eternal, perfect upgrade. That's the promise. That's the promise. I believe that. And I act on those beliefs. If you don't believe that, I'm sorry. That's just, you know, that's on you. Do what you want. Believe what you want. Act how you want. But be prepared to take the consequences of your actions and your belief. If you die in unbelief, it's over. You no longer have a chance. It's done for you. You will be resurrected to the second death. I don't want that for you. I wish you well. I wish you blessings. But you have to prepare yourself. Well, I'm at the end of my hour here, so I will say Shalom Aleichem to all of you. And I will talk to you tomorrow. Praise Yahweh.